Amen. Don't you love our heat wave? That was a blessing. Amen. Revelation 19, lesson number 34, the Alleluia from Heaven. And we are covering Revelation 19, 1 through 10. All right. If you need lesson 34, raise your hand. We have those. Looks like everyone has them. Very good. All right. So, again, we are in section number 6 of 7 sections. And the title of section 6 is The Anger of God. And we come to wonderful, wonderful section here, chapter 19, verses 1 through 10, the Alleluia from Heaven. It is interesting, as I've done this Revelation study over the last 3 years or so, how many times where we are coincides with what's going on. And to come to this, I just had to just stop and thank the Lord and praise Him. You know, the Sunday before Thanksgiving, we're talking about praising the Lord. And that's just an exciting thing. And it is one of the great passages of praise, especially in the New Testament. I mean, the Psalms are loaded with praise, but especially in the New Testament, one of the great passages of praise in the New Testament. And so, again, just, you know, boy, we sure are lucky, aren't we? Just so lucky how things work out. Now, we don't believe in luck. It's just God. But it just, as I think back, God's timing and the way God leads and everything, and I'm not saying that God spoke and therefore I wrote all my messages that way, but I do believe the Holy Spirit led in the way things are and just the way the lessons turn out. And here it is right before Thanksgiving. We're talking about praising the Lord. So anyway, it's a great passage here, Revelation 19, 1 to 10. But verse 1 is our memory verse, and so let's go ahead and say that together. We'll say the reference, the verse, and then the reference, and begin. Revelation 19, 1. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. Revelation 19, 1. And again, Revelation 19, 1. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. Revelation 19, 1. And Father, certainly you are deserving of our praise, and you are deserving of the praise of all the heavenly beings and all mankind, and you're deserving of all praise. And I pray that you'll help us to grasp that today through the Scripture as we study this passage. Please speak to our hearts, give us what we need, and guide us into the truth that will make us different because of meeting today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And so it starts off in verse 1 with after these things. That goes back and refers to the destruction of Babylon, the fall of Babylon that we've spent several weeks talking about. And of course, that is a huge thing. That is not only a huge thing and will be a huge thing at that time, but as far as all history and the going back and looking at the history of the world, the fall of Babylon, that is major, because Babylon represents the cosmos, which is the world. That is the Greek word for world. It's not talking about the circular, the sphere, the ball called the earth. It is the world system that is against God. And it is one of our main enemies. Remember, we have three enemies: the world, the flesh, and the devil. And so the world, of course, being one of those main enemies. And, you know, usually when we get frustrated, and as Christians who are really trying to do right, usually our frustration is with our flesh. It should be. If you are really trying to do right, your flesh gives you all kinds of trouble. Because we've learned to say, I'm against the world. And we know we're against the devil because he's a creep, as Phyllis says. And so our flesh is our, you know, that's our big issue. But the truth of the matter is, we're all saying, when is God going to deal with this old wicked world system that hates him? When is God? Well, this is it. And so after these things, it's just so good that God puts that. That means that all those that are involved in the occult, all the cults as far as in Babylon. Now, that doesn't mean that it's totally obliterated on the face of the earth, but Babylon being the center of the occult and cults and false religions and all of that, they're all rooted there. You know, the idea of persecuting God's people is rooted there. And the idea of corruption, both in religion, in politics, in business, all the corruption, all of that, that is all centered there. And again, with the one goal to remove God and his people. And that being going on for ages and ages and ages, we see it today, a world system. Again, I'm not talking about necessarily, obviously that world system has people within it, but just because somebody may be worldly, it doesn't mean that they are necessarily part of that system as far as, you know, I hate God. Because sad to say, sometimes we become somewhat worldly. Whether it's going back to our old music or going back to some of our old things, whatever it might be, we sometimes, and I'm certainly, you know, we're not against God. But that system that keeps at us, it keeps, you know, appealing to my flesh to try to draw me away from God. That system is what Babylon is and represents. And so again, as we think about Revelation 19:1, the people are going to praise God because that's one of our enemies that God has finally dealt with. And obviously, this is the beginning of the end. And isn't it appropriate? To me, it is, that the beginning of the end starts with praise. To me, that's so appropriate. It starts with praising our God because Armageddon is close. When this takes place, as far as the timeline, Armageddon is close. I personally believe Armageddon's close now. I mean, I'm not saying the rapture is going to take place today and 7 years later. You know, I'm just saying I think it's close. But especially as we read this in our timeline, at least. You know, we know that we're in probably the last half of the tribulation at this point, and when Babylon falls, and it's right before, I believe, the battle of Armageddon. But it starts with praise. And so we come to Roman numeral 1, the voice of praise. And again, I marvel at how that, I didn't plan it, I'm telling you, I did not look. I'd love to take credit 3 years ago that, you know, I sat down and I said, we will be on this. This portion right before Thanksgiving, I would love to tell you I did that. I would love to say, you know what? What a guy. It didn't like that at all. I never thought a thing. In fact, I thought we'd be done with the whole thing before this. So I can't take credit, but I give him credit because it's perfect timing. As I was studying this, reading this over again, I was rejoicing. Notice how it's a response to chapter 18 and verse 20. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. Rejoice over this whole scenario. Again, I don't think we will ever, how do I put it? I don't think we should ever rejoice over God punishing people. But again, when we recognize a world system involves people, there is going to be a rejoicing over a world system being finally defeated. There will be a rejoicing. I'm one of these that when those that have given me a hard time, those that maybe have persecuted me or hurt me or whatever, I'm not looking for them to hurt. I'm not hoping. I just can't wait till God gets them. I don't want that. And I'm not saying that because I'm a good person. That's just God has put that in my heart. I don't want anybody to hurt. And But I do want the devil to be cast into the lake of fire. And I do want the world system to go down. And I am going to rejoice when this flesh is gone. Amen. I mean, I've got to be honest with you. These things have been a real thorn in my side. You say, well, your flesh is you. Yes, I am my biggest thorn in my side. And so, praise the Lord. Those days are coming. And so, it is only natural to rejoice over this victory. And Babylon is getting exactly what Babylon deserves. And verse 1, the Bible says that there are much people in heaven. Look at that. It says, after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven. Verse 6, it says, I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude. And this is a lot of people. And the word that is used is alleluia in chapter 19 and verse 1. And you say, well, I pronounce that hallelujah. All right, well, you can, but I'm just telling you, I used alleluia because that's how it's written in Scripture, and it starts with an A, so it worked well in my outline. Amen. That happens a lot of times. And so the only time in the New Testament is this word used. And I thought that was interesting. You know, you think, oh, come on, they're saying hallelujah and alleluia all the time. And no, they're not in the Bible. It's only used here in Revelation 19. It's the only time it is used in the New Testament. It is a Hebrew word, which means praise the Lord. And so, again, it is one of those words that we think is all the time. Well, yeah, but in the New Testament, sure, when Jesus is born, the hallelujah chorus, right? Well, that's what we call it. But the point is, the only time, I mean, to be honest with you, right here's the hallelujah chorus. I mean, this is an alleluia, and it is exciting. So verse 1's theme, it would seem, verse 1, I mean, this passage's theme, we are saying, praise the Lord for what things? Salvation, first of all, and glory, and honor, and power unto the Lord our God. Let's be reminded that salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is not something man came up with. Salvation is not something man figured out. Salvation is not something that man said, okay, I've got to figure out a way to get to heaven, and so I'll figure it. No. Salvation is something God figured out. Salvation is something God planned. Salvation is something that God provided. Salvation is not, you know, the Baptist church didn't all get together. We had a big meeting and we all got together and we said, hey, let's come up with a way to be saved. We didn't do it. Didn't happen, folks. And it will not happen. It's not, that isn't going to work. God himself said that I love man. I love people. And people sin and break my law. And because of that, they have to fall under the punishment of that law. And that is a place called hell. But God said, I love them and I'm going to make a way so they can be saved. God did all of that on his own. It was not of man. Salvation, this first part of praise is salvation is unto the Lord our God. We need to thank God for salvation. And mankind should thank God for, instead of saying, well, who does God think he is for making all these rules that we can't keep? Well, who do you think you are for not keeping his rules? I mean, honestly, he gives us this beautiful place to live in called the world with sunrises and sunsets. Well, in Michigan, we won't see the sun until what? Maybe April. But he gives us such a wonderful thing. He gives us oxygen to breathe, food to eat, water to drink, all these things, opportunities, and we just constantly blow it over and over again. But praise the Lord, he provided a way by sending his son Jesus to die on the cross to pay for our sins. And so salvation is of the Lord. It is not of us. It is not by our own works. If you came today thinking somehow you're going to get to heaven by doing your own works, by helping little old ladies cross the street, by putting money into charities, that isn't how you get to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You can get baptized till you shrink up and shrivel up like a raisin. Amen. I mean, it isn't going to help you. That water, though it's probably clean, it should be clean, but it doesn't save you. It can't save you. You can join the church, can't save you. What'll save you is coming to Jesus Christ and doing what God said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so we praise the Lord for that. And again, that's the first thing. Babylon goes down. The end time, Babylon goes down. And the first thing we're praise God for salvation. Wait a minute. If God doesn't provide salvation, it's not just Babylon that goes, it's everybody. You understand? I mean, if it's not God, if God doesn't in his mercy and in his grace, if God doesn't say, mankind, I'm making a way for you to be forgiven of your sins and for you to not only be saved, but to go to heaven someday. God says, I'm making a way. If he doesn't do that, then when Babylon's destroyed, we're all destroyed. Amen. And so people say, praise the Lord. Alleluia is the word in chapter 19 and verse 1. And so they praise the Lord. So why? Because of the salvation of the Lord. And then the second word in chapter 19, verse 1, that they're praising the Lord about is not only salvation, but glory. And that's giving God the glory. Giving God the glory. Well, Babylon, the world system, the cosmos, the system that hates God, has tried to put the glory on anything and everything else. Secular humanism wants to glorify man. That's hilarious to me. I mean, honestly, it should be hilarious to all of us as mankind continues to do exactly what the Bible says, get worse and worse. Oh, no, we have cell phones. We have smartphones. That has nothing to do with the heart of man. Mankind continues to get worse and worse and more away from God and away from thankfulness to God. You know, more and more away from that. And so the people say, okay, Babylon's destroyed. Glory to God. He deserves the glory. You know, what man could take credit for the trees? What man could take credit for the sun? What man could take credit for the waves breaking at the ocean side? Boy, don't you love that? What man could take credit for the beauty of a river flowing? What man could take credit for the mountains? You know? It's hilarious to me how the world has lied to us about taking credit for anything. What man can take credit for you being able to hear? Oh, God may have, as Glenn Harnden has a hearing aid and man was able to make it, but I promise you this, Glenn would trade that hearing aid in any day for the hearing that God provides. Any day. His hearing aids don't work very well all the time. Plus, he has to tell people he has AIDS. Anyway, but the point is, sorry, Glenn, he's going on vacation, so I got to give him a hard time. So, but you hearing aids, get it? Some of you are saying, well, I can't believe he said that. Poor Glenn. No. but what God gives is perfect. And again, our bodies do deteriorate. And I have these cataract lenses they've put in. I have two in my right eye. I have one in my left. You say, why do you have two in your right? Well, the first one didn't work out well because man didn't make it right. But then man put another one in, and it's not so hot either. But I promise you I would trade those for perfect vision. I'm going to have one of these days when I get to heaven. Amen. And God, you know, again, the point I'm trying to make, glory goes to God. Glory to God. And the devil has lied to us all these years and years where man starts thinking, you know what, I'm pretty good. Well, really, create life. Man hadn't figured that out yet either. Man hadn't figured out how to, you think about these cars now that run on batteries. And it's kind of a neat thing, you know. But look at us. Where's our battery? Amen. To me, that's amazing. You know, the human body is absolutely amazing. Well, you know, we're creating some pretty good robots. Yeah, but find a robot you don't have to plug in. Right? I mean, it's amazing. Just the body, and that's just a human. What about all the other life out there? Just as amazing. And so I'm getting way off on a tangent here. But again, the world, by the way, our resident pilgrim has walked in. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Boy, it's good to see a pilgrim here today. And, you know, the glory needs to go to God. And honor, it says. Not only salvation and glory, but also honor to God. You know, the honor that He deserves. We live in such a day where, well, you know, we don't want to hear "In God We Trust." Come on. That is America. That is how America started. That is the history. If the liberals would get away from the history books and quit trying to change them so they can brainwash a bunch of children into not knowing how America started, how it came to be. I mean, honestly, as we think about Thanksgiving, okay, we have our two exchange students that are here, one from Vietnam and one from Thailand. Okay, and so they were at our house. They had a progressive Thanksgiving dinner, and last night they came. These are teenagers, and they came to our house. We had the first part of the meal. It was drinks of some kind. We had hot chocolate. My wife had all kind of eggnog, and I mean legal kind, and she had all kinds of stuff. And so anyway, these kids are here, and so the young man from Vietnam, I always get him confused. Captain, yes, that's his. That's not really his name. We just can't pronounce his name. But anyway, we call him Captain. Anyway, he says, "Oh, I like Thanksgiving." And somebody said, "Well, do you celebrate Thanksgiving in Vietnam?" He said, "I don't know why we don't." It's just some of you are thinking, "Well, I wonder why they don't." Well, because it's pretty exclusively us, okay? And why? Because the pilgrims survived and thanked God for surviving. If you ever really study Thanksgiving, you find they should have died out in the ocean. And miracle after miracle after miracle took place so that they didn't die out in the ocean. They were supposed to go to another location just south of Plymouth Rock. And God sent a storm. Oh, I'm sure if there were any Baptists among them, they would have said, "I don't like this storm, and I sure don't appreciate." But if it's not for that storm, they go where they were planning to go, and they're massacred by the Indians there. Instead, they went to Plymouth Rock, and the Indians were friendly there. And they lived. And they went through a winter that was, it was ferocious. Kind of like what Buffalo's already seen in November. And they lived. You know what they did? They said, "We want to thank God. We want to honor God for letting us live." We're so far away from that, aren't we? "Well, look what I've done." But who gave you the opportunity to do it? Who gave you the breath to breathe? Who enabled you to be able to do it? And that's the thing we've gotten so far away from. And so, when Babylon is destroyed by God, it's only natural that the people say, "Honor now." Let's honor God. In a day where you're having to ask, are we allowed to say Merry Christmas? Do you know how stupid that is? I know I don't usually use theological terms like stupid on Sunday morning. But I think we all know what it means. Are we allowed to say, some of our kids that come to church here in the public schools, they ask, you know, they'll ask me, "Pastor, I'm not supposed to say Merry Christmas at school." I say, "You can say Merry Christmas." That's right. You still can say, it is still a free country. But there's so many fruitcakes out there. By the way, does anyone ever really eat fruitcake? Does some of you actually do eat fruitcake? Do you really? I always thought you just give those because they're pretty and then everybody throws them away. I'm not saying that's what we do. There's somebody here thinking, I gave you a fruit. No, but I just, okay. Well, anyway, these people want us some, see how I get, this is why it's taken so long to get through Revelation, because of the pastor. But honestly, they want us to get away from honoring God. Christmas is totally, completely, it has nothing to do with Frosty the Snowman. It has nothing to do with Rudolph the Red. There is no such thing. Oh, I didn't want to ruin it for some of you. I'm just saying it has to do with Jesus. He's born of a virgin. What a miracle. In our day, what a miracle. It's hard to find virgins in our day. People laugh about that. There's a show that mocks it. You know? But Jesus is born of a virgin. God with us. God comes down into a manger to die on a cross for us. All honor to him. And so finally, Babylon, boom, it's wiped out. And the people in heaven and the angels erupt in praise. Honor to God. Amen. Because it's been pushed aside worldwide for a long time. And then power. Power. And that is just an amazing thought of how powerful our God is. Salvation, glory, honor, power unto the Lord our God. And that's the praise. Okay, you say, well, you know, I'm just not real sure what to be thankful for this year. Okay, how about that? How about that? How about salvation? Are you saved today? Do you know you're going to heaven? If you're saved and you know you're going to heaven today, you have so much to praise God for and thank God for. How about thanking God and giving him glory? For this is still the greatest country in all the world. You know, we've got our problems and we got some issues going on now. And I'll be honest with you. I'm kind of, you know, I'm concerned and all that, except that the Bible already told us it was going to happen. You know, but glory to God and honor to God and power to God, because he said, you know, I read the end of the book and we're almost there. Amen. We're in Revelation 19. We win. He comes riding down on a white horse, and we're with him on our white horses. Amen. Which, that scares me a little bit. Flying is not one of my, you know, and flying on a horse is another horses. And I, last time I rode a horse, I couldn't walk for several days afterwards. Anyway, but we're going to praise the Lord. Notice verse 4. It says, 24 elders, the four beasts, we've looked at them before in the beginnings of talking about Revelation. And they fall down, they worship God that sat on the throne. And what are they saying? Amen. Hallelujah. The word amen is verily. Jesus says, verily, verily, over and over. You read it in the Gospels. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you. What's that mean? That means amen, amen. I mean, and that is actually the Greek word, amen, amen. Verily, true. True, so be it. And to say amen, so be it. Hallelujah, so be it. Praise the Lord. Verily, praise the Lord. It's very positive, very definite. Praise the Lord. And this Thanksgiving, let's praise the Lord. But not just Thanksgiving. This year, let's praise the Lord. This coming year, let's keep praising the Lord. Verse 5, it talks about the voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And again, it is praise coming from all of heaven. Here, it could be God speaking, it could be a high-ranking angel, but the command is for all to praise God. Servants, angels, you know, the angels. I think about how excited the angels are going to be, because they would remember how that Satan convinced 1/3 of all the angels to follow him. And I don't know how it works in the angelic world. Of course, I'm married to one. Tell her I said that. I need points. But if you can think of angels in a sense of the way the Bible describes them, they certainly They certainly are very involved in our lives in that. They're messengers and all of that. But the angels would have had one-third of their group that were convinced to follow Satan, thus becoming demons. And these two-thirds remained faithful to God through all these years. They remained faithful to God. They fought battles for God. They watched humanity be totally stupid. There's that word again, that deep theological term in the Greek, stupidos. Actually, I don't know that there probably is a Greek word for stupid, but I'm not sure what it would be. The angels, you know, I believe in guardian angels, and I think mine are tired. Yesterday morning, I decided to go, you know, I was leaving the house at about 7 in the morning to come to the church, and I knew that it had rained. I knew it was supposed to rain, and I hadn't thought about ice. And our first step, well, all the steps were covered with ice, but I didn't, as I looked down, I thought ice, and then I took my first step, and then I was down immediately. And I mean, it was one of those comical things, you know, you'd all would have laughed. Honestly, there was nothing I could do. It's like, whoosh, boom. And I mean, I was down. My angel, you know, the guardian had probably gone, oh, brother, why didn't he pay attention? What is wrong with the guy? Well, my hands were full. I was helping my wife, taking trash, and you know, because the teenagers were coming over. But I mean, you know, you think about our angels and what they have to deal with. The dumb things we do. Oh, my. But you know what? When they just remained faithful to God. And I love that. Two-thirds remained faithful to God. And here when Babylon goes down, you don't think they're going to shout? Then the Old Testament saints, those that were martyred, New Testament saints, those that were martyred. If you ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs of different ways that people were killed for the cause of Christ, thrown to the lions. I mean, I don't know, being eaten by a lion just doesn't sound exciting, you know? And all of those things, they're shouting, they're praising, they're rejoicing, they're happy. Tell your face to get happy every now and then. It's okay. Ushers, come. We ought to always be happy to give. All right, ushers, you come. I'm going to just keep going. You pass the plates. Notice verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. Huh? But then it says this, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. We kind of have an idea that those that are speaking right here anyway are not necessarily the bride. Kind of a confusing thing because they say, let us rejoice, and his wife has come. I'm not going to speculate on that. I think everybody's praising God here, to be honest with you. Don't know all the wording there. But verse 6, the praise is like this. I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude. Okay, so immediately I think of a sports stadium because that's about the only place you find great multitudes nowadays. And I think about a guy running for a touchdown. I think about a guy making an interception. I think about 100,000 people. Again, I'm not talking about Michigan because they haven't been cheering a whole lot lately. And you can tell Mike Poor I said that. But I'm thinking of, a huge stadium where there's great cheering going on. And yet, however loud that is in one of our stadiums today, this is so much bigger. It says the voice of many waters. How many of you ever been to Niagara Falls? It's loud. It's like, you ever do the Maid of the Mist? Go down in there. Who in the world ever thought of that? What are they thinking? You know, I've done it. I don't know how many times I've done it. And I thought, what kind of a nut ever thought of doing this? And then that one lady from Michigan that went over the falls in a barrel, what in the world was she thinking? She did it. But a lot of folks tried it and did it and didn't. They did it, but they didn't. They didn't talk about it because they died. But anyway, it's loud. Okay, the voice of many waters, it's loud. And then it says, and the voice of mighty thunderings. That's loud. You know, some of those big claps of thunder, that is loud. And they're all praising God. And it says in verse 6, Hallelujah for the Lord, again, which means praise the Lord, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And I like that word omnipotent. That means all powerful. And he is the king. He is on the throne. Now, he's always been on the throne, but he's let man kind of do his thing. But finally, he says, enough. And this, you know, we started 3 years ago and talked about Revelation, the revealing of the true king and the revealing of Jesus Christ to sit on the throne. Oh, it's very, very soon is what they are praising the Lord for. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. He's always been the Lord God. He's always been all powerful. Excuse me, but he's about to take his place as King of Kings. And then I close this section with verse 10. And it's interesting because John says this. And remember, John, so much of Revelation is God revealing things to John, an angel, or maybe somebody who's already gone to heaven. Somehow they are revealing these things to John. And so verse 10, as we think about praise, John is so caught up in praising and worship. The Bible says that, and I fell at his feet to worship him. Who's that? Well, that's the person who has been showing him some of these things. And John is just so amazed at what's going on. He falls at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren. So again, a fellow servant and brethren, I don't think this is an angel because typically angels are not referred to as fellow servants or brethren. Plus he says this, I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. We would indicate here or have the idea here, this is a person who is a saved person. All right, and so we have to think, and I kind of think it's one of the 24 elders that's been showing him around, but these terms are never said of angels. But here's the key thing. He refused worship. You know, he said, no, don't worship me. He said, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And he said, I'm not the one to worship. We don't worship people. Right. Amen. We can admire people. We can look up to people. Paul said to follow him. You know, we can certainly do that. But we don't worship people. People are not due our worship. He does make an interesting statement. I got to close with this because we need to dismiss. But he talks about, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And what he's saying there is the heart of all prophecy. You go back into the Old Testament prophecies from Daniel, Isaiah, Ezekiel, all those prophecies. The heart of all prophecy is Jesus Christ and his salvation. That's the heart of every prophecy. Any kind of prophecy in your Bible, you know, the key to understanding those prophecies, the key to understanding the Bible, the key especially to understanding the book of Revelation is to understand it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus Christ and how he came to die to pay for our sins. That's why an unsaved person cannot even possibly begin to unravel this book. Can't get it. It's not because you're dumb. It's because if you're not saved, you cannot understand how Jesus is what the book's all about, the whole thing, and especially the book of Revelation. But when you trust Jesus, it's amazing how all of a sudden the blinders are gone, and it's like, I get it now. I see it now. And that's exactly what this elder is saying. You know, he is saying, don't worship me. Everything is about Jesus. Amen. And so praise the Lord for the Lord Jesus. Well, next week, Brother Dale Stewart and Brother James Livermore. Is that right, Dale? You guys are tag team preaching in this class. That ought to be interesting. And every time I think of he said that. He said they were tag team. Every time I think of the Blackjack Brothers and Bobby Heenan. How many of you know what I'm talking about when I talk about that? Wrestling years and years. Crusher, Dick the Bruiser. Oh, now we're getting to your level. Okay. Anyway, well, they're not going to do that. But I'll be preaching to the shepherds next week, so they're going to help out there. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for the time we could spend in your word. Please make it profitable to us. I pray for your help and your guidance in our church and our services and our community, that we might present Jesus Christ as a Savior, as God, as the only way to heaven. Please speak to hearts today and save those that are lost. I ask in Jesus' name.